Oh, good morning, Roo. You've come bounding into the studio this morning in your tracksuit. What's going on?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm ready. I've got to train our contestant for the 50K kick today at 9:30 this morning. So got my
James
gym gear on, ready to go.
Right.
Try and help him win a heap of cash.
All right.
Yeah.
What else?
You're in Sydney. Right? You're on the ground over there for us today, Dits.
Unbelievable scenes here yesterday, Roo. Shut down part of the city. And in fact, not that it's about us, obviously, but we were meant to go to a restaurant last night and we couldn't. We had to avoid the city. So it was in lockdown over this incredible stabbing.
You're not Craig Guy, are you?
No.
Didn't get involved.
But one thing, we'll talk about this obviously throughout the morning, but wasn't it amazing to see the reaction of people? You don't see, Alice made a point before that in America you don't see it, but maybe it's because they've got guns. But yesterday people here just ran towards the man and tried to apprehend him. So a lot of very heroic acts around this fella yesterday.
Yep, very, very brave. We'll cover that later on in the show. Brad Ebert's going to join us to talk all things Port Adelaide Dits. They are on fire at the moment and getting in form at the right time of the year. The Metros will join us for a laugh. Rob Sitch is going to join us as well.
Yeah, I'm a big Rob Sitch fan.
Yeah, he is very funny. He's in Utopia. He's the husband of Jane Kennedy, isn't he?
That's right.
So we've got plenty to get through today, and the Ashes are on tonight. We'll have a chat to Greg Blewett later on this hour.
Look forward to that. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Well, as I drove up on King Street, and as I approached King and Clarence, I realised that there was a fire brigade truck and a few other cars that weren't really moving, and all these people were just moving away from those cars and yelling and going, get out. So I sort of panicked, and next thing, this man sort of appears out of nowhere with a knife in his hand and some blood on his shirt. He looks at the car, he comes over, he jumps on the bonnet. From the bonnet, he jumps onto the roof of the car. I quickly accelerated and made a left turn and made sure that he came off the roof of the car, which obviously he did.
17 white, could you notify police? There is a person with a Ballarat Harbour on running up the street with a knife, possibly stabbing people. We're near the corner of King and Clarence Street, over.
I received 17, you're reporting a person with a Ballarat Harbour on and a knife near the proximity of King and Clarence Streets, possibly stabbing people. We'll notify police, 1401 Chelsea.
Piece of there, people, you just stabbed your dog! Ha!
Stop.
Look, I don't kill you right now!
Stop.
Get away from the cops, wait for the cops.
Give me your phone, mate.
You stabbed the chick, mate!
We're a male offender. Has produced a gun, a knife, and as a result of the production of that knife, a female member of the public has been stabbed. There's been, again, subsequent to that stabbing, a number of attempted stabbings by the same offender. And bear in mind, we have multiple crime scenes and we're in the infancy stage of this investigation.
Horrific scenes in Sydney yesterday, Roo, around lunchtime. Broad daylight, just amazing stuff. And I said earlier, just incredible the reaction of people around to actually approach him and apprehend him. Many, many heroes have come out of this, but unfortunately a lady has lost her life and another one is in hospital with serious injuries.
Yep, and this bloke has been known to police. He's been in trouble before. He's had mental health issues before, homelessness, drug use. He got let out without a conviction after getting caught with knuckle dusters not long ago. He went into hospital for mental health and got out at 6 o'clock the next morning. When he was under attack from these guys, he was saying, shoot me in the head. He wanted to get finished off in the end. So horrible stuff, and not what we want in Australia, but it's happening in Australia, whether we like it or not.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we're going to find out more later on this morning. We're trying to catch up with a couple of those witnesses, as I said, who just a heroic deed yesterday to apprehend him and make sure that he didn't cause any more trouble or mayhem. All right, Roo, what else? So let's move on. What else is making news?
Yeah, well, we'll just stay on that theme at the moment, unfortunately, Dits. We've got our own issues happening on the streets of Adelaide at the moment. Now, 7 years ago, a lad called Jason D'Alessio was murdered in a botched hit in a crash repair shop. They arrested 7 Hells Angels over the last couple of weeks. This has fueled bikie crime on the streets. There's been bombings of a food truck. There's been shots fired into houses at the moment as well. Now, it's linked to that, but they're also saying there's a bit of a organised crime figures are involved outside of the Hells Angels as well, in drug debts tied up with this as well. So there's some stuff happening out in the streets at the moment, and it's not finished yet. Now, no one's been hurt in the short term with these fire bombings and gunshots, but gee, it's not sounding good either on our own streets inside Adelaide at the moment.
No, not at all. All right, on a lighter note, Roo, what would be the biggest tantrum do you think that one of your kids has thrown?
Tantrums?
I've got a beauty for you.
Right.
So a 22-year-old lad has pushed his BMW into the river because mum and dad wouldn't buy him a new Jaguar. BMW wasn't big enough, he said. I need a new car. And they said no. So he pushed his BM into the river.
Where's this? That's Port Adelaide.
No, it wasn't actually, no. It was in a northern town in India, but so not that close to home, but a very, very wealthy family. But that's a fair tantrum, isn't it?
That is a fair tantrum, Dits, and something that I wouldn't expect to happen in India, but a lot of rich people over there now as well. So
He's made his point.
Sport little brat.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's making news, some good and some real, real bad. Here it is on Triple M, Ruined It's for Breakfast. Roo, a real surprise selection as far as the Ashes second test, which starts tonight's concern. Shane Warne has been very, very vocal about this. So Pattinson's been left out after he bowled really, really well in the first test. Apparently very, very fast, bowled some dangerous spells. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, oh, we need to rest him. You know, he can't play every test. Look, test match cricket is what it's all about. You aspire to make the Ashes squad, surely. You play every test, and if you're tired at the end, then you rest. We need to win and go 2-0 up. You don't save him hoping that he comes back for the fourth or fifth test and can try and bowl well then. Surely, if he's the best in the best 11, don't you play him now?
Yeah, I suppose you do, Ditz. I don't know enough about why they need to rotate him. Is he carrying injuries? Is he not fit enough? Is he not capable of backing
up? His body has always let him down. There's no doubt about that.
So then,
with the one day is where you play 21 days in a row, I understand. Yep, rotate blokes, and one day cricket's Mickey Mouse. This is test match cricket in the Ashes. He has to play. If he's in the best side, he's got to play, surely.
Yep, look, I can see it from your side of it, but surely the coach and that know what they're doing, don't they? That's what they're there for. And
well, this isn't just me talking. As I said, Shane Warne, who's got a great cricket brain, he's really livid about this. But let's hear from the captain, Tim Payne.
They're both world-class bowlers, and when you leave guys like that out, particularly two of them at a time, you can see what sort of people they are, and we've been really impressed with both of them. You know, obviously they're both disappointed, but you know, they're really both excellent team men.
We've got Greg Blewett coming up in about 10 minutes, Ditz.
Yep.
He'll find out what he thinks about it. Is there something on the inside that's not coming out for the reason why he's not playing?
Yep, for sure. All right, let's talk a bit of footy, Roo. What have you got for us?
Rory Sloane is expected to play against Collingwood, as we sort of hinted here yesterday morning. Got the inside word there, so hopefully he can play. Alex Keith, his availability depends on him passing a fitness test, but word is it's sort of grumbling along that ankle and not sort of getting too much better. Tom Jonas says Boyd Woodcock could be the next draftee in line to make his AFL debut.
Yeah, that'd be exciting.
Solid form in the SANFL. Yep. Now, this is a kid that played for North Adelaide alongside Connor Rosie last year and was picked up late in the draft. Now, if Port can blood another kid, they're having a good year with kids, and that list is starting to look really deep and really young, which holds the club in good stead for later on. Zach Butters wants to get back into the side as well if he's recovered from his bruised sternum. Apparently the Port are close to re-signing Carl Amon, Kane Farrell and Riley Bonner to new deals.
Good news.
We know that Jared Roughhead is retiring this weekend. He had a press conference with his coach, Alistair Clarkson, and this is what he had to say.
I'm good. I mean, I've probably known it was coming for 12 months or so, but I guess I'm happy because I've been able to be here for 15 years. I've had a great time here. I've been able to do what not many people can do. And to say I've been at one club is something pretty special. I'm not bigger than the club. The club's perfect, so
yeah, well, they're 3 minutes. Didn't even last that long.
So, yeah, I think I answer it.
She squeals like her old man, too, doesn't she?
And that's his little daughter, Pippa, who want to get a bit of limelight off her dad. But he's a ripping fella, absolute ripper. Anyone who knows him knows that he's a better bloke than he is a footballer. And that's not easy to say because he's been a champion over the years with four premierships and captain of a good club. And you know what he has done, Dits? He's handled the last 12 months unbelievably, because I can tell you they've had some fair blows, him and Clarkson, about how it's all rolled out, and he hasn't said one word bad publicly. He's put the club first.
Yep. Okay. Well done. That's our look at sport. As you said, Roo, not far away from talking to Greg Blewett, and we'll find out what he thinks about the selection for the second Ashes test, which starts tonight. Roo and Dits on Triple M. Right now, the second Ashes test gets underway tonight at Lords, the home of cricket, and our next guest, a part of Dead Set Legends here on Triple M, knows all about it. He made centuries in his first two Ashes tests, Roo, if you don't mind, back to back. Greg Blewett, good morning.
Oh, good morning, boys. Good morning, Dits, as well, because I just wanted to say I ran into your brother. I'm on the Sunshine Coast up here at Mooloolaba with the Redbacks boys pre-season camp.
Hang on, don't tell me where you found him. Let me have a guess, Bluey. Was it at the bar?
It was at the surf club.
He was surfing, wasn't he? He was saving lives. He was patrolling. He was saving lives.
That's right. But I have to say, a good-looking man. He was polite. He was funny. So, yeah, I'm not sure what happened.
Runs in the family.
Not all brothers are alike.
So, no, runs in the family. I know. I got all the looks. That's what you were thinking, Bluey. Now, let's talk cricket. Now, Warnie's very upset about the selection. Now, surprise, surprise, a Victorian's been left out of the Ashes team, so he's not that happy. But I'm querying this as well. They're saying that they have to rest James Pattinson because they might need him later in the series. Surely you just keep picking your best team and try and win the tests up front rather than try and win them at the back end of the series.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And probably coming off an eight-day break as well. So, you know, you would think that he would have had plenty of time to recover. They are saying it's more of a long-term view. I suspect also that they probably weren't that happy with the way he bowled in the second innings of that game. I thought he was our pick of our bowlers in England's first innings, but I thought he probably just trailed off a little bit as the game went on. So maybe they want to get Josh Hazlewood in, and that's just their public line was to give him a rest. But it seems strange, doesn't it, that an eight-day break, and he's certainly a very, very fine bowler, and we want to win this test because if they go 2-0 down, it's going to be hard for him.
Yeah, it doesn't really stack up to be resting players. There's got to be more to it, you would have thought. What's Lords? How's that differ from the first test?
Well, I was thinking they were going to juice the pitch up a little bit. I was really surprised what they rolled out at Edgbaston. I think that really suited us. Obviously, Nathan Lyon got a lot of wickets on that last day. So I was sort of expecting a pitch that might sort of be green and swing around a bit. But from all reports from the coach, Justin Langer, it looks pretty flat, which I think, again, will suit us. So, but a great ground. We've got a great history there. England don't tend to do overly well at Lords. So, I'm expecting us to do well this game.
Have they got the ugliest tie in world cricket? This is where they have the egg and sauce tie, isn't it? The members at Lords?
Yeah, and the jacket and the hat. So, you often
egg and sauce.
Red and yellow stripe.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You often see a lot of those boys sort of falling asleep after lunch in the members there, enjoying themselves at Lords. But, the tradition of the ground, and I think Tim Payne summed it up really well the other day. He said, you know, it doesn't matter how many times you go to Lords, whether it's your first game or your 10th or your 100th, it's a remarkable place. You can sort of feel the history in the ground, so it's pretty special.
What about Joe Root coming out and saying, I think we're close to cracking, Steve Smith? Did he not realise he made 240? He said, it took him a very long time to get to 25. I think we'll stick with that plan.
Yeah, well, I suppose what else is he going to say? Like, he can't come out and say, look, we've got no clue.
We've got no idea.
So I think, you know, they're not the only team to struggle against Steve Smith. But, I don't know what they're going to do. I think they have to go really straight to him early and hopefully, you know, he misses one, because we know that he goes, you know, across his stumps a lot and can be vulnerable at times to get LBW. But that's about the only weakness in his game. He's remarkable.
Now, Roo, just before Bluey leaves us, I do find it quite remarkable that the Redbacks have to have a training camp on the Sunshine Coast. So, I mean, the question I ask is, well, we haven't got any cricket nets in Adelaide. Is that the issue? Or is that what's the story?
Well, it's a little bit warmer and a little bit less rain up here. So we're playing some practice games against Queensland as well.
Because
we
haven't got indoor nets at Adelaide, have we?
No. We have, but we play on turf, so we need to get outdoors, mate, and experience that.
Fair enough.
Does Stephen Swart, former Crows fitness coach, still get stuck into the boys? They must hate him, because I certainly all the players that the Crows did, I can tell you.
Well, I'd have to say the cricket pre-seasons are a little bit different now under Swerty. They've sort of gone footy style. So, he's not the most popular guy around this time of the year, but no, he does a great job, Swerty, and he's got a dry sense of humour. So, no, we love him.
Yeah, as he sits there and has a nice coffee and a chocolate donut, he tells us about diet and how to run, you know, 5 1Ks and stuff. So, thanks for joining us, Bluey.
Good on you, Bluey.
No worries, boys.
And will we win the test? We'll go 2-0.
I think so, yeah. No, I've got a really good feeling about this test. So, 2-0, I reckon.
Good on you, Bluey. Thanks for that. A man who knows, Roo, because he's been there and done it, no doubt about it. In a moment, we will cross live to the streets of Sydney. Angie Azimus from Channel 7 to join us after the horrific scenes yesterday. And some heroes have come out of this as well. We'll find out more. Roo and Dits here on Triple M.
Triple M.
Well, as I drove up on King Street and as I approached King and Clarence, I realised that there was a fire brigade truck and a few other cars that weren't really moving, and all these people were just moving away from those cars and yelling and going, get out. So I sort of panicked, and next thing, this man sort of appears out of nowhere with a knife in his hand and some blood on his shirt. He looks at the car, he comes over, he jumps on the bonnet. From the bonnet, he jumps onto the roof of the car. I quickly accelerated and made a left turn and made sure that he came off the roof of the car, which obviously he did.
17 White, could you notify police? There is a person with a Ballarat Harbour on running up the street with a knife, possibly stabbing people. We're near the corner of King and Clarence Street, over.
Received 17, reporting a person with a Ballarat Harbour on and a knife near the proximity of King and Clarence Streets, possibly stabbing people. We'll notify police, 1401 Chelsea.
Piece of shit. There are people you just stabbed, you dog! Ha!
Stop.
Lucky I don't kill you right now.
Stop.
You're a piece of
Get away from the cops, wait for the cops.
Paul, give me your phone, mate.
You stabbed the chick, mate.
We're a male offender. Has produced a gun, a knife, and as a result of the production of that knife, a female member of the public has been stabbed. There's been, again, subsequent to that stabbing, a number of attempted stabbings by the same offender. And bear in mind, we have multiple crime scenes and we're in the infancy stage of this investigation.
Horrific scenes on the city streets of Sydney yesterday, Roo. We're going to cross live there in just a moment. Roo, a comment made this morning, there are no positives to come out of this, but if you can shed any light on it in any way, you know, if this was on the streets in America, that man would have had a gun, and within a minute, we could have been talking multiple fatalities. And the fact that, I guess, our gun laws here in Australia are so stringent that he had a knife. Look, and a lot of damage has been done. I mean, a lady has lost her life and he's stabbed another female who's in hospital in a bad way as well. But you know the point I'm making.
No, one's a lot better than 10, 20, 30 or 40. If you got an automatic gun, you can, in Sydney streets at lunchtime, you can do a lot of damage.
But many heroes have come out of this as well. People that apprehended him yesterday, instead of running away from the scene, they ran towards him. And we'll find out more in just a moment. We'll cross live with our Channel 7 reporter, Angie Azimus, in just a moment here on Triple M. As we've said throughout the morning, horrific scenes on the streets of Sydney yesterday. Let's cross live to the hospital in Sydney now, where one of the victims is recovering, and Channel 7 reporter Angie Azimus is there. Angie, thanks so much for joining us. We'll get to the incident in just a moment, but how is that victim recovering?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, look, the 41-year-old woman's actually doing surprisingly well. You may have seen the footage of her yesterday coming out of the hospital. She had blood all over her back. That's where she was stabbed. Looked to be in visible distress. She got to hospital. She was given some pain relief, and doctors decided she didn't need to undergo surgery. So she's so lucky. And we heard that she was sitting up in bed last chatting to friends and colleagues, and she's expected to make a full recovery.
All right, that's great news. What do we know about the poor lady that lost her life yesterday?
Well, look, we do believe that she was known to her attacker. We understand that she is a sex worker. She was a 21-year-old woman, we believe that she was meeting as part of her business. So, she lost her life. Her throat was cut. She was found after all of this took place in the streets of the CBD. And at first, in fact, police weren't sure whether the two scenarios were linked. We do now believe that they are. Charges haven't been laid yet, though. The alleged attacker, he's under police guard in hospital. He sustained some minor injuries in that scuffle with bystanders who ended up bringing him down. And he will have to undergo a mental health assessment, which is standard practice in these cases. So depending on the outcome of that, he may be transported to the local police station where he'll be questioned and charged. Failing that, detectives may even come here to the hospital where he will undergo a bedside court hearing. Maybe a little while before we hear about those charges, though, police descended on his Western Sydney home last night. 7 or 8 cars arrived, cordoned off the area, and they're trying to delve a little bit more into his background to figure out what the motivation may have been and other contributing factors. We do know he had a history of mental illness, and this is not, even though he was in possession of some terror material on a USB stick, it's not believed that he was part of an organised terror group or that this was terror related.
So we know he has had some run-in with the police before. He got let off by a magistrate a couple of months ago for having knuckle dusters. We know he's had mental health. We know homelessness and drug use as well. Anything else coming out about the man at all?
Well, look, questions are being asked, as you said, why he was actually free, given he was caught with knuckle dusters. That charge was dismissed. He has had a few run-ins in that sense, but we do believe he grew up in Western Sydney, lived with his family, and more details are still coming to hand about him. But you look at the pictures from the CBD yesterday. He didn't give much away. I mean, a lot of people saying, "Why are you doing this?" And he would just look blankly at them. So look, there are a lot of gaps that we need to fill here. No one really understands what's prompted this. The shots of him, he looks quite disoriented. He's almost meandering around, looking like he doesn't seem to have any purpose of where he's going. He was yelling out, shoot me, and echoing Allahu Akbar as well. So it's, a lot of mixed messages there. Worth mentioning too, just the incredible bravery of those bystanders in Sydney CBD who grabbed whatever they could to pin him to the ground. And in the end, his body was pinned underneath cafe chairs that they grabbed en route, and his head in a milk crate. So look, they did incredibly well to contain him before police arrived. And detectives have described those men as heroes. So thankfully, even though, one woman's lost her life, another's injured, a lot of these bystanders saw that 41-year-old being stabbed and knew they had to bring this man down in case something worse was going to happen. So credit to them. And, they really acted incredibly bravely and selflessly.
Yeah, definitely. And you just finally, we saw some amazing vision on 7 News last night. One of your colleagues just happened to be there as it was unfolding.
Yeah, journalist Andrew Denny and cameraman Paul Walker were actually driving back from a nearby house fire, and they saw a lot of people milling around on the street looking in a certain direction, and they turned and saw that there was a man walking the streets with a knife. So they in the end became part of this chase and are now official police witnesses. So they were incredibly close, and you can hear the journalist Andrew Denny saying, like, why are you doing this, why are you doing this? He not getting much of a response, but look, that whole thing, and we were able to capture how the community really banded together, and those brave men brought this alleged attacker down. So incredible scenes, and we were right there, just driving through the CBD. It was a busy time, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, just after the lunch hour. There were a lot of people around.
Yeah, for sure. Angie, thanks for that comprehensive report. Angie Azimus from Channel 7. And Roo, without being too dramatic, I grew up in an Australia, a country where these things didn't happen. we were safe. We could walk down the streets. And I know it's a mental health issue. There are many factors involved here. But
drugs as well,
times,
I think.
Yep. Times have changed forever, haven't they?
Sure have, Dits. Yeah. Very, very sad.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Rue, it gets me thinking out of this Sydney incident yesterday. What would you do? How heroic are we when we're put on the spot? And you and I have talked about this before, you know, whether you've had a home invasion or a burglar or you see something happen, you know, you've got to make a snap decision. And I just admire those people yesterday. They were amazing.
Yep, absolutely.
Can you do it? Would you do it?
Well, they probably saved lives, did. So
definitely.
Every chance that bloke would have stabbed more people or, you know, he didn't know what he was doing. He was on a mission and they were fantastic. I don't know how I'd respond under it. You probably don't. None of us do. But some people have been put in that position before.
You'd like to think you'd be brave, but you don't know, do you?
Yeah, 133353. Have you ever been involved in a citizen's arrest or have you ever caught a burglar or anything like that? Give us a call right now, 133353. I'd be interested to hear if someone out there has been involved in a situation.
I'm quite often put under house arrest.
Yeah. A little bit different.
Different.
We've got a Royal Adelaide Family Pass, Royal Show Family Pass to give away, plus a show bag voucher for a caller now. Have you ever done a citizen's arrest or have you caught a burglar or anything like that at all? Give us a call.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. We're praising the heroes this morning, Rue, the people that apprehended the stabber on the streets of Sydney yesterday. Just wondering if you ever had to do it. Have you ever been involved in a citizen's arrest?
Yeah, let's go to Port Turton. G'day, Ricky.
Fellas.
What's happened with you, Ricky?
A couple of years ago, we're at a club up in the Territory, and one of my mates was ushering a guy out of the club. And as we're walking through the doors, because me and another fellow followed, and this guy stabbed him in the neck with a schooner.
With what? A broken schooner glass?
Yeah. Yep.
Gee whiz.
Basically, the fellow dropped down in front of me. There was people following out behind, so me and this other fellow went and chased the guy. And we caught him about 500 metres down the street with a beautiful rugby tackle.
Yeah.
And, we had a bit of a scuffle and then just held him there until the coppers come along.
Did you give him a couple?
Yep.
Good.
Ricky, tell me, did you even have to think about it or was it just natural instinct kick in?
No, it just came in because the guy that got stabbed was pretty close to me. So,
all right.
Yeah, just another thing while you're there, fellas.
Yep.
I've got a local here that reckons he's a good mate of yours and I just need a bit of mud on him. Phil Bone?
Yeah, let's talk about it later on.
All right, we'll get back in touch with you, Ricky. Dits has got dirt on everyone. Don't worry about that. Let's go to Paraka. G'day, is it Axel?
Yeah, mate. How you doing?
Good, mate. What's happened with you?
Oh, you know, I was down the shops doing a bit of shopping, and just out of the corner of my eye, there was a bit of a commotion. You could call it, and the security guard was yelling at some bloke, and he's come dashing down one of the aisles, and he was throwing the pilfered stuff out of his pocket. Well, that's what I assumed anyway, which was correct. He did get done for shoplifting. But as he's run past, I've kind of got him and pushed him against the racks there where all the food is, and it's kind of hurt his arm a bit.
Yep.
And the cops ended up coming, and they ended up getting me for disorderly conduct. Because
what's getting her, getting
under control.
You got into trouble.
I got into trouble.
What
because
are you?
God, the security guard had it under control, and I shouldn't have interfered with the security guard's work.
You're kidding, Axel. If you are giving us an accurate description on what happened, that is a disgrace.
Well, I can say that I wasn't mucking around when I went to grab him, but, you know, like...
You knocked a couple of Weet-Bix off the shelf, and they're getting upset.
We're on your side,
Axel. I was in the coffee aisle. I think they were more worried about the coffee, the Macona on the ground, you know what I mean?
Rue, I'm scared of a bloke called Axel. I can tell you, I don't want to be tackled by Axel.
Listen, Dits, I'm going to give Axel the show tickets. See, I'm going to give him the family pass to the Royal Adelaide Show plus a show bag voucher for that.
Don't mess with Axel. Everyone out there, do not mess with this bloke.
Yeah, and Dits, bring back Ricky and give him some dirt on one of your mates.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M.
Brad Ebert to join us shortly. Half your head off.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Sorry. Well, I'm in Sydney. There's a time delay, all right? I've had to... you're sitting there staring at me down the Skype. Buddy,
that's
all
right.
Give me a bit of directionary. We're a team.
Well, this is... I think you're taking the mickey out of me here, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
So you want me to help you take the mickey out of me, do you?
Alice the Wag said to me this morning, you're in Sydney.
He's thrown Alice under the bus.
No, not at all. But Alice, you were concerned about Kate. Kate has to stay home on her own. He said to me, does she get scared on her own? Because a couple of years ago, there was a little burglary incident, and a fellow, she had to chase him down the street and get rid of him. And Rue, I work with the hardest man in AFL, and Rue said, yeah, I'm a bit scared of the dark. Alice, am I right? The conversation we had this morning, the big hard Rue says, yeah, I'm a little bit scared of the dark.
100%. And I was like, yeah, like when I'm, you know, I run down hallways and I quickly turn on the light, you know, before I enter the room. And Rue's like, yep, me too. And I was like, when I walk out to my car in the morning, like I look to my left and right, make sure there's no one there. Rue goes, yep. Me too. I do that as well.
Look, Rue, just try.
Scared of the dark.
Rue, try sleeping with the light on. Just give that a go and see. No. Come on.
Oh, what? You're not scared of the dark?
Oh, come on.
Come on, Vince. I'm going to hide it in the car park tomorrow morning in the little black balaclava. I'm going to jump out and scare the shit out of you.
Yeah, that's different.
What?
We're talking about just being scared of the dark, not scared of some...
Well, you never know. There could be a boogie monster or something there.
Gee. And by the way, good sympathy. You told me how your little boy Joe went last night. Tell me about that. Very sympathetic parent.
Well, I do have to walk them down, you know, numerous times a night to go and put their jammies on or put the light on or whatever in their bedroom because they are scared. They got the dad's trait.
I get it from you, yeah.
I said I'd had a gutsful last night. I was a bit tired. I was sitting on the couch trying to watch the footy shows. And I said, mate, when was the last time you've seen a boogie monster down there? Seriously, when have you seen an alien down there? If there's a burglar down there, I'll be right here watching and I'll come bounding down there and I'll beat the hell out of him. So anyway, he worked up the courage and he walked about, 15, 20 metres down there. And he goes, Dad, I made it. I said, good on you, son. So
anyone listening this morning, that's the chat you have with your kids. When was the last time you saw a boogie monster?
Well,
and just
true.
See what their response is.
Yeah, we've been there for a couple of years in the house. I haven't seen anyone bad. Anyway,
what I take out of that is...
Guys. Yeah, good.
Bruce sleeps with the light on. That's what I take out of that. Coming up next, Brad Ebert.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Bruins, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert
takes the mark.
Ebert.
Oh, Brad Ebert, good morning. No brace this morning. No brace, mate.
No brace. So I'm all good to go already.
So have you started running? What are you up to?
Nah, pretty much got it off Monday. So walked a couple laps the other day, walked a little bit more yesterday, and hopefully by Friday I might be walk jogging. So.
You better hurry up because the way Port are going, they're going to have a crack at this premiership.
Mate,
you can sniff it, can't you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Smell it? Hey. Has something changed down there? Is the vibe changed over the last few weeks? I mean, a month ago, some people were saying Hinkley needs to be sacked. He should be getting sacked. He might be going to Carlton. Koshy's putting the heat on him. It's finals or not.
It was only 2 weeks ago, I think, we were sitting there chatting about this sort of stuff. So, I think, like I talked to you boys about, really, a lot of it came back to just the way that we rode the highs and the lows, I think. We were all pretty level most of the time, and that's probably continued through. So even like now we're winning, we're probably not getting too carried away by it. But it's good to be back on the winners list and actually playing some really good footy.
So those last two wins, what have you noticed? Has anything really stood out for you about the way you're playing?
We've probably had that freedom to take the game on a bit more. I reckon, especially against Essendon, we're really able to open it up and play pretty fast and exciting footy, but a lot of it was off the back of some good defence, like our forward half turnovers and ability to restrict their ball movement was strong, and then that sort of led to us being able to take it off and go from there.
I think it was a complete performance on the weekend. I was very, very impressed with the second half. There was not a area of weakness at all. I think the Charlie Dixon just getting a little bit of form back and kicking three goals was a major boost for what you can do in the finals. Todd Marshall had an absolute breakout game. His tackling was the clear highlight of that.
Yeah, that forward line pressure was top notch from him. Connor Rosey kicked another three and was just looking exciting. So
he's amazing. Yeah. Laddams in the ruck gives you an extra dimension. Your back six are super rock solid at the moment. I think Tom Jonas might have played his best game ever. I can't remember him playing ever. A better game. Tom Cleary was solid. Darcy Byrne-Jones is...
Jeez, you are very complimentary
no,
today.
No, it was.
Is this a new you, mate?
No, I've always...
You were giggling in the last segment, and now you've already given us pump-ups.
Well, I'm trying to move on from the darkness. I'm trying to forget about that. But no, true. Look, I was on Port's bandwagon back in 2014 when they were at their best.
Right?
And you've had a bit of a up and down patch since then. But the side, the way they played in that second half on the weekend, I'm saying if you get into the finals, you shouldn't be scared of anyone.
Yeah, and I guess that we've probably shown a fair bit over the time that you've been able to play really well against a lot of those good sides. We just, the consistency was the thing that was lacking. So I think if we can just iron that out and get a couple more wins going in with some real confidence, you never know.
And Ebo, what I'm intrigued by are the players that aren't in the side at the moment. So there's obviously yourself coming back from injury, but Dougal Howard to me is a super talent. Mm-hmm. I like young Joel Garner, so he's great backup as well. And of course, Scott Lysett. To me, I think Willem Drew as well, if he had to come in, there's a lot of backup there, isn't there?
Yeah, and I guess that's that's a positive sign that that the SNFL team is firing. You've even got your Stephen Motlop's playing.
Oh, Motlop as well, yes.
You've got Jack Watts on the injured list. He's obviously not coming back this year, but
Ryan Burton's another
Ryan
one.
Burton shows that there's...
Billy Frampton. He's been going well, too.
He has been. So that's, I guess, when you've got a really strong SNFL team and a strong sort of group that are pushing for it, it really makes the AFL side perform.
And with all that depth that you're talking about, there's talk of Boyd Woodcock getting a debut game this week. Now,
I just saw that.
Tell us about Boyd. I know he played North Adelaide finals last year and played really well alongside Connor Rosie, but what sort of player is he?
He's a pretty hard-nosed, aggressive small forward, really. He attacks the ball hard. He plays freely and plays pretty strong and doesn't mind, telling you about it. He's got some swag, young Boyd, and we don't mind it. He's like I said, aggressive and physical, but he's also, he can back it up with some pretty nice performances as
good.
Well.
Good.
All right, more with Ebo in just a moment. And Roo, you're going to have to cough up. I think you've lost the bet, the goal-kicking bet. I'll explain that in just a moment.
Hang on. I want you to do something.
We're going on averages.
I want you to ask Brad Ebert about the rumour that you received yesterday about Scott Lysett.
Ah, okay. All right.
We'll do that next.
More with Brad Ebert here on Triple M. Ruined, it's on Triple M. Brad Ebert in the studio with us from Port Adelaide. And Rui's come in bearing gifts this morning. He's brought in the old Hey Diddle wines, which we always enjoy.
We do always enjoy.
What have you got for us today, Brad?
I've got the rosé. That's ready to go. And I've also got the super tea. So that's another
super tea.
It is a Montepulciano, Sandrovese, and Cab Sav blend.
Italian grape, Rui.
It is tops.
You know why they do the blend. They just chuck all the leftover juice and just make it into a bottle.
A little bit of head wobble this morning. Can I just tell you? I just got to expose him. I know he's an Ebert, but I've got to expose him for this. We picked up you picked up the bottle of res. Gee, it's quite cold. And he said, "What did he say, Roo? It's been in my back room."
Yeah, it's been.
And he said,
"In the cellar."
Yeah, he said, "I can't heat the house. It's too big."
what a
tosser! My house is too big.
I was just taking the piss with you boys, but now it's gone on air.
What?
As we think about all the pensioners out there that can't turn on their little three bar heater.
Those
Port Adelaide people that buy tickets every week to come and watch you play in there.
Did not think that would come out of the mouth of an
in their
Ebert.
Little house no, in Peterhead and Birkenhead.
Insulated,
My house is too big to heat.
My little garden shed out the back. It's not insulated.
Too big.
Righto. More with Brad Ebert, who lives in a huge house next.
Stop it. I'm taking that wine home.
Triple M.
Ebert leans back, slots the goal.
On Bruins Dits, it's Port Adelaide's Brad Ebert.
Ebert.
Ebert takes the mark.
Ebert.
Now, Ebo, yesterday we dropped a rumour.
Hey.
We or you?
Don't say we.
Oh, don't jump off this now, Roo.
Don't jump off this, mate. It's your rumour.
Roo and Ditz. There's two people in this
show. Thank you, Brad.
You just be quiet, Ebo, and answer this truthfully, please.
And guess what?
You're on camera.
The reason I'm asking you is because we like to get to the truth, and I'm being serious about this because we don't want to throw any players under the bus. But was Scott Lysett dropped for form or for disciplinary issues?
Well, that's the first I've heard of disciplinary issues.
He looked down, he looked left, I'm not joking.
Seriously, that's the first I've heard of that. So if we're going serious, then
we are going serious.
It's form. I take it.
All right, so it was form.
Okay. I heard nothing about discipline.
You've heard nothing about a misdemeanor?
No, I heard nothing about a misdemeanor.
No, we want to clear that up.
The way that Roo's looking at me, surely you've got the camera on him too.
Camera's on me. Don't worry about that.
I'm surprised.
So what did you hear, Dit?
So where'd you make this rumour up?
No, because if I say what it was, then the rumour grows legs. So I'm not going to say what it was, but someone told me that. Now, if it's wrong, I'm happy, and that's why I want to point that out right now. If it's wrong, let's put it to rest.
Well, let's put it to rest, because that's the first I've heard of it. And the
Can I say one thing? A lot of rubbish does get around in football circles.
Sure does.
That is not true.
Sure does.
And that's I'm happy for that.
It's
and
very handy for that when it comes out, Dits.
Would have him in the side. I think he should be playing. I hope he's back in the side soon. I think he's been great.
Tell you what, you'd have him playing right now.
Yep, I think he's been fantastic.
So who would you drop?
That's the thing at the moment.
Well, I wouldn't have dropped him in the first place. Look, Laddams is lucky he's come into the side and did a great job. And so therefore, I'm not saying drop him either.
It makes sense, your rumour, doesn't it? Because he shouldn't have got dropped.
But I think he's in Port Adelaide's best side.
As soon as there's a contentious issue like that, everyone's going to make a rumour, aren't they? And then they're going to go to Dits and he's going to eat it up.
And then we come to you and we get
and
the truth.
And regurgitates it on
air. We get the truth. I want to address your goal-kicking, Ebo, because at the start of the year we made a bet.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Because you were given this new role. You're out of the midfield. You've gone forward. You were going to become this goal-kicking forward. And we said, we had a bet. We said 40 goals this year from you would be. Yep. So how many games have you played?
I played 11.
And by the way, Roo, you know there was lunch on the end of this. So you've played 11 games. How many goals have you kicked?
Yeah, I only kicked 13.
No, you're on target. You would have been on target to 40 then,
I think
we call it square, Roo, because he's been injured. He hasn't been able to play all year.
I think if I kicked under 20 and I played 22 games, it was just going to be even. So let's go with I'll buy you lunch and you buy me lunch. What do you
think? No. It doesn't work like that.
You ain't bringing
pay your bills.
You're not paying.
You're under half of what you said you were going to do.
No, you're not bringing your wallet out, are you? You're not bringing your wallet out. Come on.
Target
I don't need to bring it out.
We've got to go somewhere other than the armour as well. You know, get down to Gauchos or something, a nice steak.
How's rehab going, Ebo? How is rehab going at the moment?
It's good. It's been intense. It's been thorough, and I'm getting back and ready to go.
Yep. What did you do on Saturday night, Ebo?
I went to the footy, obviously, and watched a great win.
Yeah,
and
where did you dine?
Beck and I decided to go out to Penfold's McGill Estate.
You're joking.
I had a bloody schnitzel at the Elmer.
You've lost the plot. I had takeaway pizza.
It was getting a bit cold in my house, so I thought I'd better go somewhere with the fire.
McGill Estate.
What are you doing up there, you big hobnob?
Mate, I bought Beck a Christmas present, and it was the first time that we got to use it. So I bought her a dinner for Christmas, and we got up there and used it. It was awesome. Unbelievable.
Also, eight-course
degustation.
Oh, degustation.
Not normally into that sort of stuff, but it was unreal.
What is happening down there? Rehab's really tough at the moment.
I was enjoying the schnitzels, but I thought I'd better just change it up a little bit and go a little bit fancy.
So you've had an eight-course degustation.
Sure did. Yeah. Topped it off with a little Grange and everything.
Another Grange, please.
And that tastes pretty good.
So it is pretty remarkable up there, isn't it?
It is.
You sure you don't play for the Crows?
If there was a bit of Chardonnay in there. There was a bit of Chardonnay that was thrown around.
Oh, my God.
So for the punters out there, what is McGill Estate?
I've
never been there.
They're big Port fans up there as well. Plenty of Port fans at Penfolds. What is it?
It's a just tell us about the food.
It's a beautiful cellar door. Beautiful cellar door. Beautiful restaurant.
Did you go for a tour?
Did a little quick tour, yeah.
Oh, you got the...
Didn't go the whole way. Didn't go the whole way. But we
Peter
got a little
Gago
tour.
Take you through as well?
Yeah, Gags
Grange
is there. It's tight. I haven't met him yet, but I might give him a call. Hey, let's go next. Next time we'll call him.
So we could have Penfolds on our shorts next year. You're saying big pork belly.
I swapped him a couple of bottles of Hey Diddle for a nice Grange.
Good on you, Ebo. Thanks for coming in, mate.
Unbelievable.
It's been good, boys. Yeah. It's been good. Brad, see you next week.
The toff. Very frightening scenes on the streets of Sydney yesterday. We crossed live this morning earlier to the hospital where one of the victims is still recovering. A couple of brave young men have come out of this. This is the, could I call it the good part of this story where you ask yourself in these situations where a man is wielding a knife, what do you do? And you, in fact, just said off camera, Roo, I mean, these guys have had no consideration for their own safety whatsoever because if you approach a man wielding a knife, anything can happen, can't it?
Well, they can throw it at you, Dits.
Correct.
And if you get the sharp end, you're gone if it gets you in the wrong spot. So it's almost beyond brave, isn't it?
You're putting your life at risk. Yep, for sure. So, and I think they've saved many other lives because anything could have happened yesterday. Paul and Luke O'Shaughnessy are the two young British fellas. They spoke just moments ago on Channel 9.
It was my brother who noticed that this guy was from the office. So we're on level 4 on King Street. He saw him out of the window, heard the commotion. He said, mate, there's a guy wielding a knife. He's on top of a bonnet. Like, let's get down. So we got down the elevator, down the lift, and, you know, we're just thankful that we could play our part. And there's other people that certainly, you know, kind of got there first, and we just ran after him as well and helped kind of restrain the individual.
I was looking in his eyes and he was saying stuff and gibberish, but it was more that you could see that he wasn't well, very troubled, you know, and you could see that, and it was just a shame to see this weak person that had caused so much damage. I was thinking to myself, like, how on earth has he been allowed to, you know, do this?
Now, the brothers, Paul and Luke O'Shaughnessy, Ditz, they also were, one of the brothers was just absolutely rapt and super proud of his brother. In the fact that he was the one who tackled him to the ground and put his life at risk. So, yeah, brilliant stuff.
Yeah, well done to those two young men. In a moment, Roo, we're going to meet some young men of our own, the Metros, to join us here on Triple M.
Triple M. Roll up your chinos, put wax in your hair, smash some avocado and grab a protein shake. It's time for the Metros on Roo and Ditz for breakfast.
Good morning, boys. Who we got here, Roo?
No, we got Flack, we got Nails, and we got Fabio in here as well.
Okay.
I think Flack's had a Barocca in his coffee cup this morning, Ditch.
How do you know? Have you seen him wee?
Well, I can see his eyeballs. They look a little bit like yours a couple of days week after Port have a big victory. What the hell's happening, Flack? You've had a midweeker.
Yeah, I went out to dinner with an old boss and went to press. And
what, trying to suck up to him?
What's
to
the
get
point
another
of going out? Why go out with your old boss? He's no good.
He still works for us, but had a few drinks and, you know, the night kicked on.
Right.
As it does.
How do you rock up?
Which part of Hindley Street did you take him to?
I did not go to Hindley Street.
How do you rock up to a very important segment under the influence?
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
Under the weather.
Well, Ditz shouldn't turn up at all then.
Don't blame Ditz on this one. We know what happened in Sydney yesterday. Tragic stuff. But there was a couple of very brave men, brothers, who tackled the man down and did a citizen's arrest. This is a stupid question to you, Flack, but do you think you'd chase him?
This is actually a really hard question because right now I'd go, yes, absolutely. If there's some crazy guy who's doing really bad things to people on the streets of Adelaide, you're going to try and chase him down and stop this person. But I won't know until it ever happens. If it had to happen, then I'd go, you suppose in the moment you just go with it. And if you're too scared, you don't do it. But if you're up for it, you do it to try and do the right thing.
Nails.
Yeah, I agree with Flacky. I think you don't really know until you're in the heat of the moment. It's that old, you know, fight or flight, I think. So, yeah, certainly like to think I would. But, echoing Flacky that, yeah, if you're in the moment, then that's the way you'll find out, I think.
What about you, Todd?
Yeah.
You're built like Adonis. Surely you only use it when you need to.
I think the torment of maybe after it's all gone down, if you didn't do anything and you could have done something, that would play on your mind more. Well, for me at least.
You wouldn't have time to think about that.
Well, maybe not, yeah, but...
It would definitely bug you, though, if you didn't do it. You'd go, gee, I was a bit weak there.
Yeah, after it, I'd just be going over and over and over it in my head and thinking, what could have I done to help?
Yeah.
Do you think your half an hour on the treadmill at 9Ks an hour would help you in this situation, Flack? In preparation to chase this bloke down, or would he get away from
him? All I'd say is if we've got a crazy man on the streets, I hope he's not very fit. Okay?
So when you're chasing him, he's like, slow down.
Yeah. Mate, just
slow down.
Just come on. Just let me come after you. But yeah, I'd be out of breath after 60 seconds. Yeah.
Give me a chance.
I don't want to be a hero. For my love life.
Now, Emma G, who we love and adore, comes in after 9 o'clock with the theme train. Has just revealed this morning she had a half an hour shower. Half an hour shower. Can you believe this?
By herself or what?
Well, good question. I didn't get that part of the story. I want to throw this to you boys. How can you shower for half an hour? You'd be a bloody prune, wouldn't you? How long are you in the shower, Flack?
Oh, 7 minutes.
Like, 7 minutes.
I've got a routine. Well, you know,
exactly.
I've got a routine.
Are you flipping hourglass or?
I 7 minutes. Two of it's washing myself, and then I'm out the shower, and I'm good to go. Just you don't.
7 minutes is a fair long shower, too.
Is
Flack.
It?
Doesn't take you 7 minutes to wash yourself.
Yeah, but I've got a routine, you know.
It's a big
armpits
body.
Down.
It's a big rig.
That takes me time to get around all my love handles. But I think 30 minutes is outrageous, and I can tell you now, my housemate. I reckon I hear the water on for at least 30 to 40 minutes. So I'm not looking forward to my next water bill.
Do you pay water bill in your...
Yep.
We do.
Yeah.
That'll be a good conversation when that comes in.
Yeah. Can you not shower as much? But I think it's too much.
Geez, we're tackling the big issues here,
boys. Yeah, it is a big issue. Bloody hell. But we've gone from a bloody attack in Sydney.
Got to lighten it up a bit. Again, similar to Flacky, 5 minutes in and out.
And what about your missus, though?
Pregnant what? Pregnant partner?
Yeah, she's the same. I mean, unless she's got to wash her hair, that takes a bit of time. But, you know, and it doesn't take long at all, boys. Just get in there and get it done, and that's it.
Fabio.
I agree. Get in there, get it done. Yeah.
Liar.
No, I'm serious.
No, hold on. Can I just point out that Todd has been doing some, you know, presenting on stage or ripped and stuff. Yeah. He's getting fake tan, so he's got to be in there for ages to wash it off.
No, but he's you're not fake tanning, are you?
Before I get on stage.
Get on what? Fabio.
Before you get on stage, you have
Whenever
to.
You get on stage?
When was it now? A couple of weeks ago?
Gee.
Stage?
Disappointed.
Not a stage, it was disappointed. A pre-run.
What do you mean a pre-run?
Also, like, I'm part of, like, a team and we get together and we do, like,
What routines?
Are you in
not routines.
This isn't the Chippendales, is it?
No.
Bad boys are back.
Manpower.
We all eat man-sized food. Sorry.
No, so seriously, is this a filmed thing or is this just a rehearsal?
No, so it's like, no, of course not. It's nothing like that. It's just like a group that we all get together as mates and
You do that, but what do you do together, like, as a performance? Oh, come on.
Give us a demo.
They walk around.
There's one that's a trainee, he's the PT guy, and there's another guy that will, show you how to pose on stage.
Actually, I think it's the village people. Are you the cop? Are you the cop or the Indian?
We'll delve into this a bit later.
All right. Thanks, Metro.
Cheers, boys. See you, boys.
What a goal! Ruined its overnight sports.
Second Ashes test gets underway at Lord's tonight. We spoke to Greg Blewett earlier about this, and Shane Warne's up in arms too, that they've left James Pattinson out after he bowled reasonably well in the first test, but he's been dropped. Now, they're saying that his body needs a rest, which I just find extraordinary.
I don't think they're telling 100% the truth here, and I don't mean to be disrespectful to Justin Langer because he's very highly respected. But if Warney can't see it, and Greg Blewett joined us earlier, he didn't quite think it stacked up either. In fact, he said he was the best bowler in the first innings. Yeah. So very, very unusual to be dropping him. But let's back Justin Langer. He made some brave calls in the first test with Matty Wade and the bowlers, Siddle included, and he got the chocolate. So hopefully they'll do it again. In fact, Greg Blewett thinks they will do it again. So great stuff. Hey, Rory Sloane is expected to play this week against Collingwood, which we said on this show yesterday. So that is good news for the Crows. Alex Keith, however, has to pass a fitness test. He is struggling with that sort of stress fracture or whatever he's got in the ankle. So that is not good news. Matthew Lloyd had a bit to say about Darcy Fogarty.
Saw some man by the name of Darcy Fogarty. I'm wondering, where has he been? When you've got this talent, you give him an opportunity. I'm not sure what the reasons were for not playing him, but I just wanted to highlight this. His explosive, he's dynamic, and he's the best kick I have seen. In the last, say, 10, 15 years, I won't say ever because he's played 20 games of football. But best set shot, I actually grabbed my son and said, come and watch this guy kick for goal because he's the most purest action I've seen, uncomplicated. So I just hope he plays a lot of football so we can enjoy the spectacle he'll put on. I know there's been other clubs who are interested in him because he's not getting a chance.
Gee, that's high praise.
Yeah, the velvet sledgehammer there, just giving the coaches a whack and then giving Darcy Fogarty a bit of support. He is a beautiful shot on goal. There's no doubt about that. Let's head over to Port, though. Tom Jonas says that Boyd Woodcock is a chance to play this weekend. With all the depth you've got of experienced AFL players playing well in the SNFL, there's talk of another debutant. That is great news for Port Adelaide. Yep. And Brad Ebert said he's a tough little hard nut that plays in the small forward role. And he's happy to tell you that he's a tough little hard nut as well. So he's got a bit of confidence. Right. Zach Butters, another little small forward. He wants to get back in after missing with a bruised sternum. The Power are reportedly close to re-signing Carl Amon, Farrell and Bonner as well.
Good
news there. Geelong are being told that they will have to have their first final at the MCG. It will not be down at Geelong, which takes away a big home advantage for them. And
is that fair?
Well, I think they should have a home final, but I'm more in for fairness rather than how many people we can get through the gates. I think
I agree.
Jared Ruffhead announced that he will be retiring at the end of this year, and he will be playing a farewell game this weekend. He did a press conference with his coach, Alistair Clarkson.
I'm good. I mean, I've probably known it was coming for 12 months or so, but, you know, I guess I'm happy because I've been able to be here for 15 years. I've had a great time here. I've been able to do what not many people can do. And to say I've been at one club is something pretty special. I'm not bigger than the club. The club's perfect, so...
Yeah, well, I'm there 3 minutes. Didn't even last that long.
So, yeah, I think I answer it.
She squeals like her old man too, doesn't she?
Yeah, that was his little daughter, Pippa. Yeah. So well done to Ruffy. He's been fantastic and just a superstar of the game.
That's our look at Sport Roo. In a moment, cameraman Paul Walker from Channel 7's going to join us. He was on the spot in the streets of Sydney yesterday. He just happened to be there when all of the drama unfolded. We'll talk to him next. Roo and Ditts on Triple M. Gee, drama yesterday on the city streets of Sydney. There was a lockdown after a man went crazy with a knife. One lady has been killed, murdered, another recovering in hospital. And remarkably, a man called Paul Walker, he's a Channel 7 cameraman, was on his way back from shooting another story, filming another story. Driving through the city streets, he saw everything unfold and was Johnny on the spot and filmed it. Paul, a very good morning to you. Tell us what you saw yesterday.
Hey, morning, guys. Well, it was literally, we were stuck in traffic and the story came to us. Myself and a journalist, Andrew Denny, we were like gridlocked in traffic in the middle of Sydney. And suddenly, a bit like a B-grade disaster movie, I could see a whole bunch of pedestrians look in one direction and then literally do a 180 and then run up the road towards us. And obviously that gets your attention. And then suddenly, a heartbeat later, there was this guy and he was smeared in blood and his hands were covered in blood. He had a bloody big knife in his hand. And at that stage, he had a ski mask on that was sort of, he had it on backwards because there was no eye holes or sort of mouth hole or anything. It was just that all you could see was the contours of his face. He then ran behind us. I grabbed my camera out of the car and Andrew started filming with his iPhone. And then suddenly this guy was on the roof of a car that was a couple of cars behind us. And he was yelling out Ali Akbar and at that stage, you're thinking, wow, we're just going from here. So luckily for us, we had just a few vehicles in front. Was one of the fire trucks that were at the fire that we were at beforehand, the story. They jumped, they'd seen what I'd seen, and they jumped out of their truck and grabbed some fire axes. And they were then suddenly became this macabre event where a couple of city workers, myself and these fireys, were just trying to blockade or corral this guy into a wall so we could contain him. But every time we tried to slow him down, he would then run off again. And our fear was that he was going to injure somebody else. And so we kept yelling at him yelling at the other pedestrians to get out of the way.
So when this happened, how far from when this happened did the brothers, Paul and Luke O'Shaughnessy, tackle him to the ground and put a milk crate over his head?
It was about... probably a couple of hundred meters. It was a few sort of city blocks that he'd run, and he sort of got to a position where there was a construction work, and I think he was trying to work out where he was going from there. And I think as he was looking around, there was another city worker who actually grabbed a cafe chair, and then cracked it over the back of his head, and then everybody piled on top of him, and then grabbed that milk crate, as you said, and grabbed a chair, and people were standing on his hands, and basically he was just compliant. He didn't do anything. He just was wide-eyed, just looking. And then I could hear just the rapid fire of people yelling out the address on their phone. So you knew that there was a lot of people around us who were all calling Triple O at the same time. And as it always does, it feels like forever. But before we knew it, the police were there, and they quickly took over the scene.
Now, we heard a bit of the audio, him screaming out, shoot me in the head. He was clearly very, very disturbed and sort of outraged, I take it.
He was. But at that stage, all I knew was there was a guy who was covered in blood. And I could see because of his jumping up on the car and jumping off the car. He didn't look injured himself. So I'd made the assumption it wasn't his blood. So so something had happened, and I didn't know what had happened. And so, as far as I'm concerned, and I know the other people who were with me, we were not going to let this guy go until he was apprehended.
We've had the Lint Cafe issue a few years ago. How far away from that is it? Is it close? Is it same sort of area?
It's about probably about, no, it's not really. It's probably from the Lint Cafe to that, to the area where he was arrested. It's probably about a 5-minute walk.
Yep, okay.
Which is, yeah, right by Channel 7. Paul, thanks so much for sharing your experience with us, and well done, and great vision. I know it's gone viral. Everyone has seen it right around the world, but thanks for sharing your experience with us this morning.
No problem, guys. Good. Thank you for having me.
Paul Walker there from Channel 7 ruined just horrific scenes on the streets of Sydney yesterday.
Triple M ruined it.
The show that was.
Now we need to go back in time.
The show that was.
We crossed live to the hospital in Sydney earlier this morning, Roo, with Channel 7 reporter Angie Asimus.
The 41-year-old woman's actually doing surprisingly well. You may have seen the footage of her yesterday coming out of the hospital. She had blood all over her back. That's where she was stabbed. Looked to be in visible distress. She got to hospital. She was given some pain relief, and doctors decided she didn't need to undergo surgery. So she's so lucky. And we heard that she was sitting up in bed chatting to friends and colleagues, and she's expected to make a full recovery.
Super lucky to get stabbed with a massive kitchen knife and not have to have an operation, Dits. Yeah. She is one lucky lady, that one. Or unlucky for being there at the same time, but lucky she got away. Brad Ebert joins us every Wednesday, and, oh, God, we were very disappointed about Ebo.
You picked up the bottle of res. Gee, it's quite cold. And he said, what did he say, Roo? It's been in my back room.
Yeah, it's been in the cellar.
He said, I can't heat the house. It's too big.
What a tosser.
My house is too big.
As we think about all the pensioners can't turn on their little three-bar heater.
All those Port Adelaide,
people that buy tickets every week to come and watch you play in there.
Oh, and that wasn't it. It didn't end there. We talked about Penfold's estate where he was dining on Saturday nights and carrying on. It's tougher life in rehab, Dits, isn't it? Down at Port Adelaide, very tough.
Now, what about our very own Fabio?
No wonder Boyd Woodcock's going to get a game in front of him this weekend. Hey, our Metro's joined us at 8 o'clock as well. And look, Fabio, who works with us here on Triple M, we're a bit surprised about some of his pastimes as well.
Fabio, no, but he's
you're not fake tanning, are you?
Before you get on stage, yeah.
Whenever you get on stage.
Also, like, I'm part of like a team, and we get together and we do like, yeah.
What routines?
Are you in? Well, like, not routines.
This isn't the Chippendales, is it?
No.
Bad boys are back.
Manpower. No, like,
manpower. So Fabio, so if you don't know out there, he is 110 kilos, a ball of muscle, one of Texas mates from Broken Hill, the last bloke you'd expect to be having fake tan and doing little poses up on stage. He might get the sack from the Metro is the way he's going. That was a good show, Dits. We'll be back again tomorrow. Enjoy Sydney and get us all the information on the ground there in Sydney for us, and we'll catch up tomorrow.